Hello, I'm from the government, with an update on humanity's gentle slide back into feudalism, as foretold in scriptures like Idiocracy and Back to the Future 2. We are now entering what experts call the find-out stage, brought to you by Brondo.
It's got electrolytes.
And now, please rise for our first trillion. The product of decades of policy failure, taxpayer handouts and ketamine. Hail! Of course, when you wake up to the obscene inequality we've enabled, you'll want to fight back. That's why billionaires are building the tools to protect themselves. From you, tools like Palantir.
Hi, I'm from Palantir,
the military contractor and AI software company named after the all-powerful Seeing Stones Tolkien warned us not to leave in the hands of evil bastards. Thankfully, we are very wise and balanced. Like our CEO, who can't stop talking about killing people, wants an AI arms race, and gets a boner talking about the West's superiority in applying organized violence. And our founder, who thinks Greta is the Antichrist.
Knows about the Antichrist.
And no longer believes freedom and democracy are compatible.
Hail!
By freedom, of course, Pete means freedom for him and his broligarch mates
to rule the world.
And that's where Palantir comes in. Let's meet some of our valued clients. Hello, I'm from ICE. Kidnapping people off the street is hard work, but not with Palantir. Palantir makes it easy for us to link your tax file, social security, license, and flights into AI-driven hit lists. Sure, we mostly use it on migrants now, but Palantir will come in real handy when we need to round up the resistance. Thanks, Palantir. Hello, I'm from the government of Israel. Committing war crimes is hard work, but not with Palantir. AI-assisted targeting makes it simple to murder thousands of people, even if most of them are civilians, according to our own reports. Thanks for supporting our genocide, Palantir.
Here at the British government, we heard Palantir's used for war crimes and said, hey, let's give them a contract with our NHS.
Could someone abuse that data?
No.
It's not like Palantir's UK CEO is the grandson of a known fascist, Nazi-loving anti-Semite.
Hail!
Here at the Australian government, we have no fucking clue. So while others are ditching Palantir due to fears over data safety and its ties to El Duce, we've let Palantir into our defense department, banks, and even supermarkets.
G'day, I'm from Coles.
Price gouging you wasn't enough.
So we hired Palantir
to track and cut costs on our already underpaid serfs. I mean, staff. Sadly for us, people are realizing what fucking psychos we are here at Palantir. That's why France just ended our contract. British MPs want us out of the NHS, and GetUp is campaigning to kick us out of Coles.
Which is a good start.
Except Palantir is just one head of the Hydra.
The underlying problem are these billionaire shitcunts and the feudal dystopia they're building around us.
So if you like democracy,
now would be a great time to wake the fuck up and stop them
while you still can.
This has been a message from your local government franchise. Good luck.
Authorized by the Department of Tech Bro Feudalism.
Yes, folks, and that's really about the size of it. People have to wake the fuck up and do something about this, or this is really going to be the last generation that knows freedom. It's an unfortunate thing to say, but it's the truth. There's really only two solutions to this problem. At least there's two. Neither of them are probably anything that anybody wants to do, though. That's the thing. Bit of a lens adjustment there. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. In the current what's happening, it's interesting to see that Lindsey Graham has suddenly died.
Lindsey Graham died. And I know some of you are like, who is she? Lindsay was a senator for Israel and occasionally hung out in South Carolina. He was known for laughing like a schoolgirl while also supporting bombing them. I know some people are gonna be like, wow, making jokes about the dead? No, I'm not gonna mock him because I support LGBTQ. I love my gay friends and family, but Lindsay was a special kind of gay. He was gay for Israel, you know? He was a man who liked a package, you know what I mean? He was Mossad's ladybug. He's the only queer person I knew of who supported carpet bombing Iran. I called him the gay of Hormuz. Ironically, he didn't support gay marriage, which just means he was a playa. He was senator for 23 years, which apparently is God's term limit, and his age setting on Grindr. I hope I don't go to hell for these jokes, because I don't want to meet him. Lindsey Graham died before Mitch McConnell. That's not funny. I lost $500 on Kelsheet. It was basically a race between the two. The tortoise and the bear. Let's be honest. He was a war criminal. That's why he got cardiac arrested. I'm aware these jokes are bad. Trust me, I already posted them on Twitter. And a fan replied, "This is so wrong. I had a ticket purchased for your show, and now I'm not coming." Man, just like South Carolina, now there's another empty seat.
Very unexpected. There he was in Kiev, making plans to starve out more children and kill more people, and then suddenly he's dead. Seems very odd that he went there just for one day to visit a drone factory and to tell Zelensky that, yes, we want to push for sanctions against Russia because we want to see if we can starve some more children. It just seems weird that he would go all that way to Kiev just for a one-day meeting. There is speculation that he actually died in Kiev and got sent back here and he was already dead. There's speculation that he just went there, came back and died. I mean, there's been two accounts where Iran appears to have taken credit for his death. You don't know how true any of it is, though, any of these reports. But yeah, he's dead. Interesting. Couldn't have happened to a more deserving person. Yeah, he's been a really horrible minister his whole career. He's been calling for war, bombs, sanctions, like, I think more than any other US politician, this disgusting little faggot, Ladybugs, they call him, and you don't even want to know. You can go and look it up if you want to. If you want more information, just search for Lindsey Graham Ladybug, and it's probably going to be far more than you ever wanted to know. But yeah, he's dead. It's sort of a too quick, really, the way he died. He kind of deserves something a little bit worse. He's the guy who claimed that they threw gay people off roofs in Tehran, which isn't true. Apparently there was one particular guy, for something he did, he got thrown off a roof. I mean, people get thrown off roofs, folks. It happens in New York as well. But some guy got thrown off a roof in Tehran 15, 20 years ago, and he happened to be gay. So Lindsey Graham's been spreading the story that gay people get thrown off roofs in Tehran for years. Perhaps that's how he should have died.
Senator Graham, you're a homosexual. You're on a rooftop in Tehran. You know what this means?
This is outrageous. Hand me at once.
Take him to the edge. Grab his ankles.
No, stop. You can't do this.
Throw the old faggot off the roof head first.
No, nuke, no.
It probably would have been more fitting if he died that way. But anyway, it's interesting that he's gone. And so is Mitch McConnell, who was pretty much already gone anyway. He's been like a walking zombie for the last, I don't know, last year at least, probably longer. And Trump is really losing it as well. Trump said in his turkey speech that he's dropping bombs on the Islamic Republic of Japan. And he also, just in the middle of the speech, he said, oh, he doesn't like Spain anymore, so just disconnect ties from Spain, stop trade with Spain, do it now, please. Like, as if he can just switch it off on the spot there. He's completely losing it. You know, he was voted the, well, there was a poll, CNN poll or Fox poll or some poll, and Trump was polled as the worst American in history. That's a pretty good effort, folks. Like, the worst American in history. This is America, you know. You've got some pretty stiff competition in America for bad people. I mean, you've got Richard Nixon. You've got Jeffrey Dahmer. You've got Ted Bundy. Charles Manson. Ed Gein. You've got a lot of really nasty people that come out of the United States. And Trump polled number one as the worst American in history. Really kind of fitting. I mean, he probably is, folks. Disgusting character. Absolutely disgusting. You know, all the genocide and all the shit that he's supporting in the Middle East, which is still going on, folks. They have not stopped bombing Gaza. July 4th, when America's big day of independence, they bombed Tent City in Gaza. Just last night, they were dropping bombs in central Gaza City in the middle of the night. Just civilian homes, any homes that are left standing. No real targets or anything like that, just civilians there. Trying to live their lives, getting bombed by Israel. The doctor as well, Dr. Abu Sariya, the doctor, the iconic doctor we saw giving himself up to the tank, who went to trial recently, he's now been tortured for 556 days straight. He's lost the ability to speak and he's close to death. This is what Trump's greatest allies are supporting. This is what this psychotic dipshit, whatever it fucking is, this moron in Australia, the anti-Semitism envoy, this thing called Gillian Sika, something like that. Apparently it's against the law in Australia to criticise genocide. You're able to support the genocide, but you're not able to criticise the genocide. If you criticise the genocide, you go to jail. There was an Australian guy, Lebanese guy, who, his village had been destroyed in Lebanon. And he had pictures of his village, his destroyed village, on his cell phone. Notably, he also had the video of the Israelis detonating his village on his cell phone, among other things. And he was complaining that his house had been destroyed by Israel, which is, you know, of course, genociding southern Lebanon at the moment. And he was arrested, and he was charged with possession of terrorist material, terrorist-related material, in the form of showing his damaged village and saying Israel's the one who blew it up. He was not charged for having the video of Israel blowing up the village. He's able to have that. That's not a problem. But you can't show the village after it's been blown up because that's anti-Semitic. Go figure.
Have you ever watched one of these videos before? Well, if you did it on your phone and the police find out, you're probably going to jail. And if you saved the video on your phone or you shared it, the jail sentence will be even longer. You see, in Australia, it's a serious criminal offence to access, possess, or transmit violent extremist material. What's that? Well, it's got a bit of a convoluted definition in the criminal code, but it basically means any material that 1. Depicts or supports serious violence, 2. Advances a political or ideological cause, and 3. Is intended to encourage people to engage in violence towards a government, including a foreign government. Now, I want to tell you about a real-life case to show you just how crazy this law is. Adam is a young Australian guy whose family come from the southern Lebanese town of Yaroun, which has been flattened by the Israeli military over the past few years and its entire population displaced as part of Israel's campaign of death and destruction in Lebanon. Adam had some videos on his phone of some military operations by Hezbollah, which is the only group defending southern Lebanon, against an Israeli army base, some tanks, and some personnel in Yaroun. Now, you might be wondering, how can the videos be violent if they're just showing damage to property? Well, crucially, the law defines serious violence to include serious damage to property. Insane, right? It's worth mentioning that Adam also had some videos the IDF had published of it bombing his village of Yaroun, but he wasn't charged with those videos. And that is, of course, because according to our government, there's nothing wrong with committing war crimes, but there is something very wrong with defending yourself against them. Now, you're probably going to spin out when you hear the sentence Adam received for having these videos on his phone. 1 year in jail, nearly all of which was spent in maximum security. And Adam isn't the only person who's been charged with this offence. Just yesterday, a Gaza-born Australian psychologist was arrested for the same thing. Given how prevalent these videos are, it's likely there'll be a lot more arrests in the months to come. And this is why it's more important than ever to understand how you can protect your digital privacy.
Yeah, so this is the situation in Australia, folks. It's ridiculous. You've got this horrid little cretin, Julian Sica. Probably couldn't get a sicker person than Julian Sica or Sica or whatever its name is, saying that you can't say anything against Israel. She's even been complaining that the reason anti-Semitism is rising in Australia is because the media is reporting on Gaza too much. Not because they're killing anybody in Gaza or carrying out a genocide, no, it's because the people are hearing about it. This is a problem. You're creating anti-Semitism by alerting the world to the continuous war crimes we're carrying out, and we think this is anti-Semitic of you. This is the way the anti-Semitic envoy of Australia is acting. It's just, I mean, what do you even say, folks? This is the state of Australia. Australia is being overrun with Indian immigrants at the moment. They're taking over everything, buying businesses. A friend of mine went to a town, Victorian town, Sale. Quite a tough town. You know, country boys, they look after their own. He said the biggest roadhouse in town has 16 gas bowsers in it. He went there, 15 of them aren't working. There's no water in the bucket to be able to wash your car down. There's no rag there to be able to wipe your hands after you filled your car up. The whole place is filthy, taken over by Indian owners. So what they do, they bring them into your country, they let them buy all the businesses, and then they run the businesses down into the ground so that everyone ends up on welfare. This is how they do it, folks. They're turning the first world into the third world. You import the third world, you become the third world. That's what's happening. All done by design. And they attack the local population if the local population tries to stand up for it. And it's getting really bad in Australia, and even the old blokes are starting to notice. Well, probably the old blokes started to notice it more than the young people, but it's getting really bad.
Back in Australia. Hey, listen, I'm thinking of having a bit of a holiday for a few weeks. I'm going to go overseas. But when I come back in, I want to double-check the sign at the airport and just make sure it says Australia. Because at the moment, all I'm seeing in this country is immigrants, politicians talking about immigrants and their countries, donating money to foreign countries. I don't see anything for the Aussie bloke or Aussie woman or Aussie business, nothing. So has someone just mysteriously changed the fucking name of this country? Or is it just the government working against its people? Because everyone's getting fucking sick and tired of it. In Parliament, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, all they have talked about is foreign countries, racism, how the Australians are racist to all these people coming in, to the same people that are coming in and doing absolutely fuck all to blend with the Australian people. Back in the 50s, the 60s, 70s, etc., the Italians, the Greeks, all of them, the Poms, they all came here and we all got together and we all built fucking properties and had a laugh at the pub and enjoyed each other. The company. Nowadays, these mobs are coming into this country. They're getting instant welfare, instant housing. They're not blending into society. They're not working. They're doing absolutely fuck all for the country. The average Aussie is paying for them out of their tax money every single fucking day with everything we purchase. We're told to shut the fuck up because we're being racist. While these people terrorise our streets, chop people up with fucking machetes, and we're not allowed to call out the bullshit. Well, I'm calling out your bullshit, fucking Albo, and all them fucking grubs in Parliament, from Pauline Hanson through to fucking Albanese. I do not trust one of the fuckers at all. Zero fucking trust. But what you have done to the people of this country, you do not give a flying fuck what we think, and all you talk about in Parliament is foreign countries and foreign people. You never talk about the average hard-working Aussie man and woman in this fucking country. And it's time to fucking change. So if you think voting's going to change anything, you got fucking rocks in your head. Enjoy your day.
Yeah, and it's all being done by design, folks. It's really, really sad to see. And you've got to watch all the theatrics that they present you to allow them to do what they're doing. I mean, it's even the migrants, and like everything, we are being bombarded from so many levels at the moment. We've got the war in Iran, we've got the shutdown of the supply chain, we've got all the immigrant invasion in all of our countries. We've got so much stuff to consider and so many different things to focus on. And what they're doing through all of it as well, underneath it all, as I've been saying, another thing that people really need to look at, which is really the end goal, is they're rolling out the smart grid. Under the guise of the war in Iran, the immigrant invasion, all the stuff that's happening, they're building these data centers all over the world. It's like they did with COVID. While everyone was locked down in COVID, they put the 5G system up, the millimeter wave, all that sort of stuff. Now, 5G being the fifth generation of communication. Now, with the war in Iran, and all the problems, the immigrant stuff, everything that's going on, to keep people completely distracted all the time, you've got these data centers being rolled out, and this is, of course, 6G, the sixth generation of communication, which is the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bodies, and robots, all the stuff that you've seen them do, the robot dogs, and all the stuff that the police are getting now. This is what this is all about. Now, soon the police force is going to be augmented by robot dogs, possibly even humanoid robots. I mean, who knows, folks? I mean, who knows? They might even be there already. Maybe this is why you just can't reason with some of these cops. Maybe they're not human, you know? Not yet, Ben. But this is all happening undercover of everything else. biometrics. They're bringing in biometrics, I think, in the UK. They're talking about it by the end of the year, of course, to protect the children. It's the Underage Protection Act or something like that, you know, like ridiculous names they give these things, so that no child under the age of 16 is able to access social media. If the social media companies allow people under 16 to access their platforms, they can be fined, I think it's 10% of the income of the platform. Hefty fine. So, see, the government can do this and say, well, it's not us. We're not putting out facial recognition and biometrics and all that sort of stuff. We're just putting this stuff in place so that the social media platforms have to be responsible for any children that get hurt by viewing their platforms. So it's going to be the platforms themselves. It'll be Facebook, it'll be X, it'll be Instagram. All these sort of places are going to require you to give them your biometrics in order to sign into your account. So it won't be the government doing it, it's the platforms doing it. But of course, if the platforms don't do it, then they get fined by the government. This is how it works. This is what they want to do. So it's all being done under cover of protection of everything. And the only way you can stop it happening and stop this mass surveillance, cashless society grid coming online is to stop using smart devices. Are you prepared to do that? You know, I've had at the bottom of my videos for the last 20 years, like 15 years, however long I've been online, I've had at the bottom of my videos, throw away your smartphone on every video. How many people do that? How many people are prepared to do that? Throw away their smartphone and stop participating in this stuff. Now, we're under attack from so many levels. We're under attack from the food that we eat, the stuff that we watch on our TVs, the stuff that our government gives us to consume, the information. Even our senses, the attack of the senses, LED lighting. LED lighting is so bad for your eyes. LED lighting, you only see part of the spectrum. You're not seeing the full range of color. So eventually your eyes get atrophied. You stop being able to see things properly. Same with audio. You know, we used to have analog audio, like the world is analog. The sounds of nature, sounds of a river, the sounds of a creek, just natural sounds, even natural sounds of music. Now we've got MP3s. MP3s, smaller files, handy for the computer world. But the files are small because they drop out so much of the signal. So many frequencies you don't hear, they're not present on the MP3. Same with LED lighting. So just by looking at that, you know, when you speak to someone digitally on your phone, on your computer, not speaking in real life, in the real world, face to face, even that digital signal that's coming across your computer, that digital signal, is dropping out a whole bunch of frequencies. So gradually, over a period of years, you find that there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in reality. The sounds of nature, and you're not hearing them anymore because your ears unaware of those frequencies anymore because they've been atrophied by listening to MP3s and digital music. You're not seeing things clearly anymore. You're not seeing all the stars in the sky. You're not seeing all the color in the plants and in the forest because your eyes become atrophied from LED lighting. Even looking at the screen itself, this stuff destroys your eyes and it basically eats your brain.
The modern world is destroying your brain's visual system, and I'm going to use neuroscience to prove it. I'm also going to give you 3 neuro hacks, which you can start doing today to improve your brain's visual focus and attention. You're supposed to blink 15 times per minute, but guess how many times you blink when you're staring at a screen? Only 5 times per minute. That's alarming because blinking resets the brain's visual system to enhance focus because there's these sudden changes in light patterns. And even when you go outside, you stare at an artificial world. Houses, cars, buildings, streets. These visual stimuli are way too simple and linear for the human brain. It doesn't get enough dopamine from them. So no wonder most people are unhappy and they get their dopamine fix by being addicted to bad habits. So here are 3 neuro hacks you can do today to 10x your brain health and improve your visual focus and attention. Number 1, create a habit of consciously blinking when you are working in front of a computer. Number 2, take a break. Go in nature so you can be around fractals. Fractals are these geometric patterns you find in nature which have the perfect complexity for the human brain. Our brains have evolved to love fractals. In fact, even a 3-year-old baby can recognize fractals. And the last brain hack, thread a needle. Threading a needle improves your focus through microsaccades. Microsaccades are these very tiny eye movements that are happening all the time. And so when you force your brain to regulate the frequency of microsaccades by threading a needle, you get an activity that improves the sharpness and acuity of your brain.
So you look at that and you think about the MP3s as well and all the stuff I was saying about audio before. You know, we're under attack from so many directions, folks. And then you've got the data centers, you've got all this stuff going on. But when you look at all this sort of stuff and you see what they're actually doing with this digital stuff, what's happening to your body with these screens, does it make you want to stop using them at all?
I mean, are we just like bored, spoiled children who've just been lying in the bathtub all day, just playing with their plastic duck, and now they're just thinking, well, what can I do? Okay, yes, we are bored. We're all bored now. But has it ever occurred to you, Wally, that the process that creates this boredom that we see in the world now may very well be a self-perpetuating, unconscious form of brainwashing created by a world totalitarian government based on money, and that all of this is much more dangerous than one thinks? And it's not just a question of individual survival, Wally, but that somebody who's bored is asleep, and somebody who's asleep will not say no? See, I keep meeting these people. I mean, just a few days ago, I met this man whom I greatly admire. He's a Swedish physicist, Gustav Bjornstrand. And he told me that he no longer watches television, he doesn't read newspapers, and he doesn't read magazines. He's completely cut them out of his life because he really does feel that we're living in some kind of Orwellian nightmare now, and that everything that you hear now contributes to turning you into a robot. And when I was at Findhorn, I met this extraordinary English tree expert who had devoted his life to saving trees. Just got back from Washington, lobbying to save the redwoods. He's 84 years old, and he always travels with a backpack because he never knows where he's going to be tomorrow. And When I met him at Findhorn, he said to me, where are you from? And I said, New York. He said, ah, New York, yes, that's a very interesting place. Do you know a lot of New Yorkers who keep talking about the fact that they want to leave but never do? And I said, oh, yes. And he said, why do you think they don't leave? I gave him different banal theories. He said, oh, I don't think it's that way at all. He said, I think that New York is the new model for the new concentration camp, where the camp has been built by the inmates themselves, and the inmates are the guards, and they have this pride in this thing they've built. They've built their own prison, and so they exist in a state of schizophrenia, where they are both guards and prisoners, and as a result, they no longer have, having been lobotomized, the capacity to leave the prison they've made or to even see it as a prison. And then he went into his pocket and he took out a seed for a tree and he said, this is a pine tree. He put it in my hand and he said, escape before it's too late. See, actually for 2 or 3 years now, Chiquita and I have had this very unpleasant feeling that we really should get out. And we really should feel like Jews in Germany in the late 30s. Get out of here. Of course, the problem is where to go, because it seems quite obvious that the whole world is going in the same direction. See, I think it's quite possible that the 1960s represented the last burst of the human being before he was extinguished, and that this is the beginning of the rest of the future now, and that from now on there'll simply be all these robots walking around, feeling nothing, thinking nothing, and there'll be nobody left almost to remind them that there once was a species called a human being, with feelings and thoughts, and that history and memory are right now being erased, and soon nobody will really remember that life existed on the planet.
Now, does it make you want to stop using them, or are you still going to do it? Now, we're at a point now, like, the world is so freaking corrupt, folks. I mean, what's the point of even coming and bringing you news reports anymore? We know. We know how corrupt it is. We know Israel's genociding Palestine. Genociding Lebanon, killing everybody it can, killing us. We know all of our politicians are corrupt. We know Jews are running around the world buying up everything, buying up Greek islands, buying up Patagonia, buying up Baja Peninsula here in Mexico, buying up Ukraine. Hardly any men on the street in Ukraine anymore. It's all women. Men go out on the street, they get grabbed by the department of go fuck the men off to the front to die. And they get sent away. Where's this dog gone? Here she comes. Nacha. You're a good little girl. You're such a good little dog. Come on. Nacha, Ben. You ever come up again later for dinner? You get 2 walks up here today. That's pretty good value, huh? Yeah, but you know, we know these people are all corrupt. I mean, interesting how the Jews are all buying Patagonia after they burnt it down as well, you know? And they got enclaves all over the earth. I mean, they're taking over the world. Let's face it, they are. And that's their plan. And that's why they keep us so busy, so we won't stop it. And they even say this themselves, you know, we've got to keep the goyim too busy with wars, too busy with sports, too busy fighting, killing each other off so they don't kill us.
And they go out opposite each other to battle. Makdil, chad minayu, von gudai, umitardei, luk mimalka. And through that, they're so busy in establishing new sovereignties in the place where the person fell, they don't bother Klal Yisrael. Meaning, when Hashem does a chesed, and they're so busy killing each other, that they don't kill us. So, it's a historical overview of the various wars and battles, world wars, etc. So busy battling each other, they'll leave us alone. Now, the Moshe Zatzal would say, that's the mile of sports. The guys are so busy in sports, they don't have time to check with the Jews. If they ever saw boxing, where they pummel and kill each other, instead of pummeling and killing us. Upon them. They have national pastimes, some of them benign, like baseball, some of them a little more dangerous, like football, where they're wired for sound to hear the crunch of the broken bone. But the more they pummel each other, the less they pummel us.
Yeah, they openly admit what they're doing, folks. And like so many rabbis, I've shown you so much stuff these people have said, and they openly admit that is their plan. Their plan is to rule the world.
You want to know what Tikkun Olam is? When good rules and dominates and subjugates Ra, which means when Klal Yisrael rules the world, when Klal Yisrael is supreme, and the nations of the world are subject to the Jewish people, and under the umbrella of the Jewish people, they have rectification, they have tikkun. That's Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam is not teaching about recycling. Recycling is not Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam is not save the planet. Tikkun Olam is not the ozone. Tikkun Olam is when Jews are Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos, and the Gentiles recognize the supremacy of the Jewish people and they assist us. That's Tikkun Olam. Everyone is better off when Klal Yisrael is supreme. And then the nations of the world are subject to the Jewish people. And they could then hang their hats on the Jewish people. In other words, a guy has Tikkun when he's able to recognize the supremacy of the Jewish people and try to assist the Jewish people in any way. Their existence is not meaningful. Their existence is for the betterment of the Jewish people.
Yeah, and by way of deception, we shall do war. See, what they do is they get in and they infest everything. They're like a virus, if such things exist. They get in and they undermine all the cultures and they infect them from within. All of the wars that we've fought, that Israel has claimed we're under threat from someone, it's all been bullshit. It's all been just to get people killing each other off. Yeah, and they're doing all of this stuff deliberately, folks. Absolutely deliberately. And they know they're in trouble for it. They're getting caught for it. That's why you've got people like this sociopath, Gillian Seeker in Australia, saying that anybody who speaks out against the genocide of Palestine is a terrorist and needs to go to jail. This is why you've got Blonald Drumpf wanting to dismantle, take steps to dismantle the ICC. We don't need an international criminal court. Yeah, right, because you don't want to go to jail, you fat fuck. You want to stay in the White House and shit your pants for a few more years on TV while you go and bomb children in Iran.
Working through all the permitting to drive towards that so that we can be selling clean, reliable energy to our allies in the Pacific.
You know, they don't want to have the ICC there because it means Israel is going to go to hell for war crimes. They're going to be tried. And if Israel is tried for war crimes, well, so are the people who supplied the bombs to Israel going to be charged with war crimes, namely Donald Trump and his whole family, who have completely sold out. The Trump family is literally joined at the hip with Israel, the entire Trump family. Like I said, that poll that found him to be the worst American in history. And I think that's an understatement. But we can see all this. I mean, Machu Picchu burnt down the other day as well. Well, not actually Machu Picchu, fire near Machu Picchu. Be interesting to see if there was any Israelis involved with that, because there's a huge Israeli enclave at Pisac in Peru now, much to my disgust. I'm absolutely horrified to know that these disgusting little cretins in their hats and their black coats and their just the shit they do, they do everything they can to make themselves different and make themselves noticeable because they want you to see just how disgusting they are and they want you to say something so they can claim they're a victim and bring in new laws and all sorts of shit. I mean, they're fucking unbelievable. But I wonder if they had anything to do with the fires. There was a report on X which straight up said Israeli tourists burned down Sacred Valley. There's no confirmation of that, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was true. But then it wouldn't surprise me as well if it was a Jew who made that comment. Oh, look, anti-Semitic accusations, you know. All this sort of stuff benefits them, that's the problem. But yeah, we're in deep shit, folks, we are. The world is run by absolute psychos. They're shutting down the supply chain. They're doing everything they can, and it's a war against the people. America isn't really at war with Iran. The governments of the world are at war with the people of the world. That's what's happening. If Iran and Israel were seriously at war with each other, Israel wouldn't be there anymore. Iran has sent enough missiles into that area that Israel should be gone. There's absolutely no reason for any of the Gulf states to have been bombed. Oh, American assets, rah, rah, rah. If you're at war with Israel, you should have just taken out Israel. It's the size of New Jersey. You could easily take out Israel. The fact that it's still there shows what a theater show this is. This hasn't been about two countries destroying each other. It's been about the politicians of the world, the criminal cabal masquerading as a series of nations and governments who all play each other off against each other, are getting found out for what they've done and what they are. This is a people farm. They're getting exposed, and so they need to cull the population and track and trace and control what's left. Everything that's happening at the moment, it's not about freedom, it's not about freeing the people of Iran, it's not about opening the Straits of Hormuz. It's about killing as many people as possible, disrupting the supply chain as much as possible, keeping people as distracted as possible, while they roll out all of these migrants through all of our countries to spark the destruction of our countries and enslave everyone to this biometric grid under the guise of protecting the children. That's what it's about. There are two ways out of this, and only two ways. One is to stop using the tech. Throw away your smartphone. You know, if you're an activist out there and you're using a cell phone to do your walk and talks and all this sort of stuff, and you're filming it and live streaming it, you're feeding Palantir. That's all you're doing. If you carry a cell phone with you everywhere and you surf the internet on it, you're feeding Palantir. Doesn't matter how much of an activist you think you are building the beast system you're pretending to be fighting against. There was that comment recently made by one of the workers from Palantir to a Palestinian activist when he said, the bombing and the genocide in Gaza has been a gift, a data gift to Palantir, because when phones are not moving, they don't get any information, they don't get any data from them. But when phones are moving around and people are interacting with each other while they're holding a phone, that's when they get data from the phones, and that's how they build their grid. I never carry a cell phone on me. I only access the internet from my own home on my own computer. That's it. I don't take photographs on phones. I don't do anything with them. The only time I carry a phone with me is because they've made it so that you can't travel without putting a ticket on your phone here in Mexico. So I have the flight app, I download the ticket, the phone goes with me to the airport, scan my ticket, goes in my bag, and then when I have to come back, it comes out of my bag and I scan my ticket again. The rest of the time it stays in my bag, wherever I happen to be going. If I go to Croatia, well, it arrives at the place that I stay at in Croatia and it sits there on the table, doesn't even get switched on. And then when it's time for me to fly back, then I get my ticket, put it on there, and I fly back. And as soon as I get back, it's switched off and that's it. I just don't use them. But if you're carrying a phone with you everywhere, you're doing all your interactions, Some people even pay for their groceries with their phone. It's freaking madness. All you are doing is feeding Palantir. All of that stuff feeds Palantir. The scrying mirrors. Like I've said to people, this was a warning. These things were left behind, these discussions of scrying mirrors and demonic sigils and all this stuff was left behind from the last reset as a warning for you. When you see these things in place, there's about to be another reset. So people have to stop using smart stuff. Stop using smart devices. Even AirPods. You know, if you're traveling with AirPods, if you're just carrying them on you in your car or whatever, they're sending out a beep every 60 seconds or so, a locator beep. Even if they're switched off, they're sending out a locator beep. Your smartwatch, your smartphone, they have these little sniffer boxes around the place. If you're carrying three or four smart devices on you, then you have a distinct digital fingerprint. They can always pick up where you are, where you're going, and that's how they do it. So you've got to stop using this shit. And if you're not going to stop doing that, well then what's the other option? How do we stop what's coming? Well, there's no way to vote in or vote out anybody. So either you've got to stop complying with your own slavery, or you've got to get led into the grid and be a slave forevermore. Your generations are slave forevermore. Your children's generations. Every generation from here on will be enslaved to this smart grid if we do not stand up and stop it now. This is the last generation that can stop it. And it's either that, either non-compliance across the board, or revolution. Full revolution. Pull every criminal parasite in government out of power and hold them to account. There isn't a court on earth that'll do it because they're just as corrupt as the politicians. I mean, look at all the stuff that's happened in Gaza. You got the ICC criminal court saying, yeah, Israel is definitely guilty of genocide.
Anyone who has served in the Israeli Defense Forces in Gaza since October 2023 must be considered a suspect for the commission of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and the crime of genocide. The attention now must move beyond concern and condemnation to action.
Yeah, an action must be taken. But what action? He doesn't say what. See, they do this and you think, wow, that's great. They're going to take action, but they don't. It's just lip service. There's still 10, 11,000 prisoners in Palestinian jails, all set for execution. Israel has even spent millions setting up a special TV channel for them to be able to live stream Palestinian executions to the Israeli public. That is how sick and demented that fucking society is. So, what happens? Nothing happens. They give you all this lip service because you think something is going to happen, but it never does. So what do? Because that's the only two options. I know which one I would prefer. I would prefer non-compliance because I'm a non-violent person. Violence solves nothing. But the problem is that we live in a society whereby we have violence committed against us every single day. Violence in the form of taxes. Violence in the form of brutal police who make us walk between the lines. Violence in the way that we're not allowed to think for ourselves or do what we want to do or actually be free in our own countries anymore. All of it's based on violence. Terrorism. You know, terrorism used to be defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. I remember the quote very well. That was Oxford English Dictionary. They've changed the definition now. It's defined as unlawful violence carried out against civilians, but it doesn't mention as means of coercion. You would find in one of the early definitions of terrorism, I think back in the 30s or 40s, it actually said it was a tool of government. So they gradually changed the definition of these things, but that's the society we live in, folks. We live in a terrorist, violent society, which is currently revering and exalting a terrorist state, the state of Israel. I mean, when you look at its actions, Israel isn't a country. Israel is the world's largest terrorist organization. And that's the truth of the matter, folks, and people are waking up to that, which is why they are now seeking to dismantle the ICC. And when it's got to that point that they're openly claiming that they need to remove the only body that exists to create any type of accountability, no matter how defunct and dysfunctional it is, they want to blatantly remove it and tell you that they're doing it because it's anti-Semitic. Now you can see what's going on. It's now become a very, very dangerous time. And in fact, there are a lot of people actually calling for a revolution.
Right now is the best time to have a revolution throughout the West. The military's too spread out. There's too many countries fighting each other. Now, we see what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. It's just white genocide. Putin is getting Zelensky. They're both controlled by Jews, and they're just using white people to slaughter other white people, so there's not many white people or any white people left on the earth. Right now, though, is the best time for a revolution throughout the Western civilization. Right now is the best time to deny joining the military, to buy guns, to make gas, to make chemicals, to destroy them, to get the food and the water and the air and the education system clean before you die. Trust me, we are the last generation to do this. After this, the kids that come after us are too weak, too feeble-minded, the bones are too weak, their sensory perception, their ideologies are too weak. After our generation, we're enslaved forever. If there is no bloody revolution where the rich from their women, children, and husbands are getting slaughtered, your children are going to suffer. We already know the only difference between the Jews and you is that the Jews will kill their own. And like in Titanic, they killed three Jews so they could pass the Federal Reserve. We know that the Jews did the Twin Towers. They killed JFK. They did the USSR. They've done so many bad things to Americans, so many bad things to the Western civilization. Right now, it's all coming to light. However, they're using artificial intelligence to program people not to fight back. They're using the poison in the food, water, air, and education system to make you docile and weak and not want to fight back. However, you have to override the programming that you've been subjected to since Genesis. You have to override that programming, and you have to fight for your love. Love for your children, for your women. You have to fight for love for your culture. If it disappears, you disappear.
Pretty full on, folks. Pretty full on words. But there's a lot of people who think like that. I've actually seen videos of Canadians having secret meetings in a forest because they know it's the only way that they're not under surveillance. And people are realizing that we're not dealing with governments anymore, folks. We're dealing with the criminal class masquerading as governments. What the Australian government has done to the people there is disgusting, disgraceful. What the police are doing, these people are absolutely disgraceful. They should be ashamed of themselves. There was another murder by ICE the other day. Some Colombian guy who was there on a work visa, quite legally. They shot him in front of his three-year-old daughter and then handcuffed him after he was dead in front of his three-year-old daughter. This is disgusting shit, you know. Pedophile protectors, that's all ICE is. That's all the police are. They don't enforce law anymore. They enforce legislation. They work as a standing army that the politicians and the rich people use against the people, because that is the real war, like I said. It isn't between Israel and Iran. It isn't between America and Iran. It's between the governments of the world and the people they are supposed to be protecting.
Hello.
You don't know me, but I'm your new ruler.
I now own all of your land, which means that you have to pay me a large proportion of your money in return. It's a new concept. It's called tax. I'm going to use the money to pay for my terrifying military machine, which keeps you in grovelling servitude for the rest of your life. How do you feel about that?
Sod off!
The Normans didn't like that sort of attitude, so their response was invariably this.
Gosh!
But yeah, we are under attack from so many directions, folks. But the most important issue, really, is this surveillance system. You know, the flock cameras, you know, the stylized picture that you see sometimes of the Tree of Liberty, the Liberty Tree. The flock camera logo is actually shows that Liberty Tree cut down. Subtle display of what their intentions are, folks. You know, and if there was any time for revolution, it's now, absolutely. I mean, like that guy said, we are the last generation that can stop what is coming. And if we don't, then we doom the entire human race into slavery. It'll be the end of the white race, which means it's going to be an end of all of that Tartaria type architecture, all that European stuff. What are you going to get from here on is going to be glass and steel. And I mean, the Chinese cities and all that, they're all beautiful if you like bright lights and colours, but they're all glass and steel, concrete. They're ugly, you know. They're only pretty because they have holograms dancing all around them, which aren't real. The real world stuff that you see there is actually quite ugly. The most beautiful stuff that you see in the world was in Europe and the Middle East and all of those incredibly ornate buildings and structures. And what happens in Peru now if you get Jews setting up there, these Jewish enclaves? If they claim that, well, because we're there, now we occupy the place. So therefore, if we occupy the place, then it's our duty to destroy the idols.
All place in the world that we will occupy in a war, milchemet mitzvah. We go to a war, we occupy. Let's say we occupy Lebanon. And over there there's idol worshipping places. We have the same obligation to destroy it. Why? Because now we live there. We occupy the place. We occupy the place. The Torah say, "Uviyarta ara mikirbecha." Don't leave anything, any idols among you. So every place that you live in, and now you the original owner of the place now, you the new owner, I should say, from now on you have the same obligation to purify the place from all the idols. Because it's against the Torah. Remember, it's not what's good for me or not.
How many idols do you think are in Peru, the Sacred Valley? Quetzalcoatl, the rainbow serpent, pyramid of the sun, pyramid of the moon, all these things, Machu Picchu. Some of the stuff that you see in Peru is idols everywhere. Is it the Jewish intention to destroy all those idols? And you can't stop them or say they're doing anything wrong because we have religious freedom, remember? It's not vandalism. We're just upholding our faith. Your idol worship is, and it's our duty to destroy you because it's our destiny to rule the world over you. And if you don't like that, well, you should be killed. That's the way they think about it. You should think very carefully before letting any Jewish refugees into any country, folks. I mean, look what they did to Palestine. It tells you all you need to know, really, doesn't it? But yeah, it's a horrendous situation that we're in, folks. It really is. All the stuff that's happened through the Trump presidency and all of his support was completely manufactured.
And who supports Trump? Who among the MAGA podcastistan commentariat supports Donald Trump? It is not fully appreciated and is not discussed. You're not allowed to discuss this in US mainstream media. That these figures are effectively unregistered Israeli foreign agents. Josh Hammer, Israel Furster, has very little popular appeal, but you just see him everywhere because he's AstroTurf. Dennis Prager from PragerU, which is this major propaganda mechanism, which has been actually affecting educational curricula in Florida under the watch of the Israel First governor, Ron DeSantis, where they're actually like propagandizing children in favor of Israel. Larry Elder, one of the major Black Republican influencers, radio host. Hugh Hewitt, who is someone who is out there supporting the Iraq War, is like a very mainstream Republican AM radio voice. Dinesh D'Souza, Sebastian Gorka, who is on Trump's NSC team and has a radio show that's nationally broadcast. Brandon Tatum, Todd Starnes, and then Laura Trump and Don Jr. Okay, what do they all have in common? They all are broadcast through something called Salem Media. Salem Media is an Israeli foreign agent. It is listed in a Foreign Agent Registration Act form with the Department of Justice as the delivery mechanism for a major contract between Israel's foreign ministry and Clock Tower Strategies. And the Salem Media Group chief strategy officer is a federally registered Israeli foreign agent named Brad Parscale, who heads Clock Tower Strategies. Laura Trump, who is Trump's daughter-in-law, and Donald Trump Jr. now own a 30% stake in Salem Media. So they have effectively merged through this foreign agent business deal with the Israeli foreign ministry. The Trump family has merged with the Israeli foreign ministry. And who is Brad Parscale, the main foreign agent who's registered here, who's presiding over this gargantuan contract? He is the former campaign manager for Donald Trump's 2020 campaign, who created Donald Trump's digital media strategy. However, in October of 2020, Parscale was arrested at his home, tackled by police because he was said to be beating his wife, and that meant that he could no longer work in the Trump campaign. So Israel moves in and says, we're gonna give this guy the opportunity of a lifetime, and we will infiltrate Trump world through Brad Parscale and gain all of the data that he used to effectively move the American public to support Donald Trump.
Nobody would possibly have supported that guy if they knew what he was going to do. And if anybody still does support him, I don't know. I mean, there are only two sorts of people who support Trump, and that's billionaires and idiots. So all you have to do is check your wallet to find out which category you belong to. And you need to stop supporting this character. I mean, just his support for Israel should tell you all that you need to know. And Israel itself, like I said, it's not a country, it's the world's largest terror organization, founded on terrorism, built entirely upon lies, especially the lie of the Holocaust. I've brought you so much stuff recently to show you clear evidence that it was a fraud. And so many people have tried to expose it. Actually, one of them was Ursula Havenbeck, wonderful old woman who recently died in jail. She'd been saying for years, like, show me where all the people were killed. Basically, it's all she's been saying, where did it happen? And no one could tell her because there's no evidence of it at any of the so-called death camps, because they're not death camps. And the poor old lady died in jail recently, but she was a beautiful old soul.
So I want to tell the British people that in Germany, nobody at the time knows where the 6 million Jews were killed by the Germans. They all know that this still is the most terrible crime that ever happened in history, done by the Germans. But if you have such a big crime and can't tell us where it happened, it doesn't have any place, then this can't be a real fact. Because every crime where you killed just one, but even 6 million, must have a place where it happened. But I myself have asked all the institutes that could know it, even the Center of the Jews in Germany, and all the judges and so on, but nobody could tell me and answer me within 5 years. And after 5 years, questioning all over the Bundesrepublik, I told the Minister for Justice, if he now could arrange an open discussion where it happened. I got no answer even from him. From all the others I even got any answer, never. Not one group or institute or minister or lawyer did answer my question. So I wrote the Minister of Justice. I must take it as a truth that you didn't answer, and therefore I suppose you don't have an answer. But if you don't have an answer, my conclusion is that then the Holocaust didn't exist. And I shall publish this in the internet. And I waited for about 3 or 4 weeks. Even then I didn't get an answer. And so I wrote into the internet, the Holocaust didn't exist. And I gave all the examples, what I have done to find it out. And nothing happened. Now already 2.5 months. So I am quite convinced now, and tell it to everybody, that this biggest crime didn't happen because there was no place where it took place. So it's quite simple that now everybody who has been charged or even put into prison because he had denied the Holocaust, and there are hundreds in Germany that had to suffer such a punishment, that now they all must be, how is it, wiederherstellen?
Yeah, very sad to see that she's gone, but that's the way it goes. I'm still locked out of X too, folks, those who might be looking for me on there. I should be back on X maybe sometime, maybe in the first week of October, I think they're going to let me back in. I can't post on my Telegram chat at the moment either. I can post on my channel, but I can't post in the chat. I can't reply to anything that I post. I can't reply to anybody's comments. So I just basically can't participate in the chat. Every time I post a comment, it simply flashes on the screen and then disappears. I have no idea why. It's my own chat channel. So it's Telegram, I guess. And I can participate in other chat threads, but not on my own channel. Go figure. But it's hard to know what to talk about even coming on and continuing with these videos, folks. I mean, I know I've said it before. I mean, I actually miss the world before the internet. Been great. I mean, we've done a lot of great stuff. I've traveled around the world a lot in the last 20 years and done a lot of things that I never would have done without the internet. But by the same token, I really miss the world without it. I see what it's done to the kids now. You know, with my life, you know, it simply augmented my life. I already had all the skills that I grew up with, all my childhood skills. I know how to hike, I know how to hunt, and I had a fish, and I had a build, and I can do just about anything I want to do, really. Well, I could. I'm getting a little bit old now. But I've done a lot of stuff in my life. Picked up a lot of good skills along the way. Picked up a lot of good communication skills along the way. Music skills, all sorts of stuff. The kids now don't have that, and the ones that did have that did have those creative flares. Well, now it's being replaced by AI. Kids out there that are aspiring to play the guitar or aspiring to be a singer or whatever. Hey, I can come along and just do a better job in 10 seconds with a prompt. So, how does it encourage people to explore their own artistic and creative potential? They can do it with a prompt online and say, look what I created. No, you didn't. And even if you created it with a prompt, well, it doesn't exist in the real world. So it destroys everybody's personal creative potential. Yeah, and it's got to the point now, I mean, I look at the internet, I used to get up and I used to look forward to getting up and checking what's going on in the world, check my emails, check the news feeds, Now I get up and I look at the screen and I feel like I'm walking into a pinball arcade. Like, it's got to the point now. I mean, sure, there's some little snippets of news stuff you can look at, but it's got to the point now where I don't feel like I can trust or believe anything I see, hear, or read on the internet. So, what is the point of having the internet? What happens when we get to a point where all communication's gone and all we've got is the internet, and you're kind of trapped into that reality, but there's nothing on there that you can believe? Nothing's real. What happens to the real world at that point? I mean, how do you have video evidence being admissible in court anymore? There's plausible deniability for all of it. If any Epstein files get released, of course, right on time, plausible deniability for any of it. People send me stuff and say, Max, look at these old images that have surfaced. And I look at them and go, yeah, well, I don't know if they're real. Because you can't tell anymore. So, I mean, the result of AI has been that I have almost completely lost interest in the internet. I've been talking to the world for 20 years, 25 years, longer. Well, since 9/11. I've only been present on video and on YouTube and stuff since 2005, or 2008 on YouTube. 2005, I was doing in chat forums and things like that. Probably 2003. Probably even some old threads you probably didn't even find on Yahoo chat and all that sort of crap. Now, I used to wonder how to harness the power of the internet back then. And when YouTube came out in 2005, I just thought it was a place that high school kids went and posted videos. I never really looked at it. It wasn't until 2008 I sort of discovered it and thought, oh shit, okay, there's a truth movement on here. So I started posting stuff. And it kind of went from there. But now, I mean, I can't really believe anything that I see online. Even an article, someone says, you know, I've written a book. Well, did you? Or did you just put a prompt into AI and get AI to write the book? Put in a prompt, a paragraph, an overview, like a synopsis of what you want the book to be, and then say, well, I want a 600-page, 12-chapter book, and AI will spit it out for you in 2 or 3 minutes. Whereas it would take you maybe a year or more to sit down and construct that. But you can do that. And I've even had people say to me, Max, you've got all this information, you should write a book. And I just go, well, I don't have time. And they say, you just put a prompt into AI. You tell it what information you want and it will write the book for you. I'm like, yeah, but then how can I put my name to it and sell it as a book that I wrote? Just be one big lie. Why would I do that? Why would anyone do that? Why would you feel like you've achieved anything if you did do that? Where is the goal in that? What did you achieve? What, income? Crazy. You know, none of this can be about income as well. That's another thing that happened to the truth movement. I said that when the monetization came in for YouTube channels. I said, no, don't monetize your channel. Because the monetary system is everything we speak out against. The monetary system is what enslaves us. If you monetize your YouTube channel, suddenly you're going to be making content and you're going to be caring more about clicks. So you're going to start sensationalizing your content. It's not going to be about the truth so much anymore. It's going to be about getting the right formula that brings you the audience you want to get the amount of views you need to get a good income. That's why I've never monetized any of my channels, never monetized YouTube, never monetized BitChute, haven't monetized anything. I don't have any subscriber section on my website. I don't have anything hidden behind a paywall. For the first 8 years that I did this, I spent pretty well all of my life savings on getting this word out. It wasn't until I was 8 years into this event, like 2016, 8 years into making videos, that I actually opened up a Patreon or something like that. Someone actually opened it for me. So, around then anyway, I don't even know the dates. But it was years after I started. So I haven't done any of this for money. I want people to get the message, and I want people to understand that none of this is about money. If you're doing this as a career and to get an income, well, you're on the wrong path. I mean, sure, okay, we need incomes and all that sort of stuff, and I don't begrudge anybody that's getting an income. I mean, you've got to hear what I'm saying, but having the income shouldn't be your big motivation in doing this, because the motivation should be freedom, because we are at an absolute turning point in history. Like I said, this is the last generation that has any hope of turning this around. If we fail, then our children are going to be doomed to living in a hell on earth for generations to come. There's no way out of this once it's put in place. And the thing is, the solution is simple. Non-compliance. Put down the smart tech. Stop carrying a cell phone with you everywhere you go. Stop feeding the Palantir beast system. Do people get angry and they call for revolution like that guy I showed you before? Yeah, and I can understand his point of view. He's absolutely correct. This is the last generation, and people do seriously need to take the matter in hand and to act. And we know that all the politicians, all of them, are freaking criminals. They're all pedophiles. They're all liars. Look what they've done to us. Look what they've done to the world. It's disgraceful. I mean, we can see this. So, what do you do? Well, you do what he said. You have a revolution, or you stop complying with your own slavery. And to me, that is the preferred option. And hey, look, it doesn't matter that much to me. I'm nearly 70 anyway. I don't give a shit. I've lived most of my life. But what about you, and what about your children? I'd really like to see some accountability as well, though, from these people. But the world has to understand we are in a state of clear and present danger, ladies and gentlemen. And if I can't trust the news that I see anymore, I can't trust videos to be what they're presenting themselves to be anymore, then what's the point of reporting all this stuff anymore? All I can really do is come on and give people pep talks and things. You know, I used to do a lot of spiritual stuff and talk about a lot of stuff like that, but we're way past that. We're in a state of clear and present danger. The solution is so simple, so freaking simple. People say, oh, Max, if I throw away my smartphone, I won't be able to watch your show. Yes, you can. Buy a computer, buy a laptop, keep it at home, watch the internet at home. Don't take the internet around with you everywhere you go. Oh, but I have to for this. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. It gets frustrating, folks. It really does. Because that's the solution, and that's the only solution. I've been quite ill the last week or so, folks, as well. I got a really bad flu, a few stomach pains, really, really bad chest cold. So, a few breaks here in the video, but that's when I have coughing fits. I actually recorded this video yesterday, but the cicadas were so loud that I gave up even while I was editing the video. I couldn't stand the sound of the cicadas anymore, so I thought, well, no one's going to watch this if I can't even edit the damn thing. So I scrapped that one, and I'm having another go today. A little bit disjointed today, but like I said, I'm not very well. I've got so much on my mind, and it's kind of freaky seeing what's happening. to the world. Israel is just continuing to genocide wantonly. You've got the US politicians just as corrupt as they come, supporting it. All these governments are supporting it. Putin, Zelensky, like, give me a break. None of these people are actually at war with each other. It's just the governments of the world at war with the people, folks, and that's what it's always been. And that's what we need to address. If we don't get our shit together on this and start calling things out, I mean, there's billions of us. We don't even need violence. There's so many of us. We have the sheer weight of numbers that we could just change things. And if everybody stops using the tech, it's over. It's completely and utterly over. That's what's frustrating, because it's so simple. And I already don't use the tech. Even this, I'm recording this on a camera. I take it back to my laptop, I edit it, and then I make the video and I upload it from my home computer. I don't take tech with me anywhere I go. I don't make purchases using credit cards. Even if I'm in a shop and I'm buying groceries, I find an ATM in the shop and I draw cash out and then I pay for the groceries with cash. Because every time you pay for groceries with a card, you're feeding data to Palantir. It knows what you live on, it knows what your diet is, it knows how it can target you. It knows all sorts of things about you simply by you shopping with a credit card and carrying a phone with you everywhere you go. And the fact that you're constantly on the move with this thing, that is the golden key. If you break that chain, don't take any smart devices out with you. Don't take earpods out with you, like smart earpods, AirPods. They're cooking your brain anyway. These AirPods that people use without the cable, sending Bluetooth signal directly through your cortex. Some guy did a measurement on a bloody radiation meter, 16 times the safe level of radiation. You've got holes in your ears that go through your skull into your brain. You're putting this radiation over two holes in your skull and sending it straight through your brain. It's crazy. Don't do it. Use wired earphones. And, you know, leave this stuff at home. You don't need to take the tech. You don't need to have a smartwatch. You don't need to have a wristband that tells you whether you're tired or not. How many steps you've taken. Who gives a fuck how many steps you've taken? Go out and run until you feel like not running anymore. It doesn't matter how many steps you've taken. For fuck's sake, you know, what have we become, folks? Honestly, I think the human race has almost become like a generation of gerbils. It's crazy. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. I'm going to be speaking in Acapulco in a couple of weeks, or next month, about this time next month, in August, in Liverpulco. And I'm going to be speaking at Acapulco in February next year, probably in Puerto Vallarta. So if you'd like to get tickets to that, you can click the link below and get yourself a ticket, get a 10% discount on your ticket. I'll look forward to seeing you there. I don't know where I'm going to go with these shows. I really don't, because, like I said, I can't trust anything I see, hear, or read online anymore. So it's just, there'll probably be less and less videos included in my videos from now on. It'll just be me discussing my observations for the week or something. And I'll probably only be doing these like once a week. I can't see the point in doing too many more, because it's just more of the same. I mean, look at the war in Iran. It's on for peace talks in the week. And then we bomb each other on the weekends. It doesn't make any sense at all. According to Trump, the Navy's been destroyed 7 times. The Strait is open 7 times, closed 7 times. He's won the war at least 7 or 8 times. He's just outraged that someone's threatening to bomb him or take his life because he's the President of the United States. He forgets that he actually took out their leader, who isn't any more or less important than he is, and he isn't any more or less important than they are. So, you know, and like it's for all Trump's turnouts that he's had, like his UFC bash and the 4th of July bash and all that sort of shit, and his World Fair thing, which was a pathetic no-show for everybody. Did you see The turnout for Ayatollah Khomeini's funeral, it's like 45 million people or something. Apparently 92 million people across the country and 45 million people or something in Tehran for the funeral. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal turnout in Iran for the Ayatollah's funeral. So it kind of showed him what a real crowd actually looks like. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Same thank yous. Thank you to anybody out there on the front line. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind word or a kind email. Thank you to all the people who leave kind comments. Damn, these cicadas are coming out again. Thank you to those who helped get some funds for Omar to get him out of Dubai. Very stuck with his family. I really, really appreciate that, folks. It's all happening. He's applied for the passports. He's got the luggage. He's got everything going. He's just got to wait for approval and he's going to get out. And that's a great thing. I mean, you helped me save the lives of a family there. And I really appreciate that help, especially from one person in particular. And you know who you are. And I cannot thank you enough. And of course, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. But that is it for me, folks. That's all I'm going to give you for now. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care. Until then, in Marrakesh.
Once upon a time, a tax on tea was the final straw. Once upon a time, an entire country was built on one belief, a belief that freedom was more important than money. There was a point in history, sometime before our balls dropped off, where we all realized the system we built is no longer serving us. So we corrected it. There was a point in time where we spit on the freshly shined boots of anybody who dared to put his foot on our throat. Now it appears we all just sit there and take it like it's some guilty pleasure. There was a time where the system that they built to keep themselves in power still had enough loose ends that we could do something about it. There was a time where voting our way back to freedom still seemed like a real possibility. I'm here to tell you, Gotham, that time is over. Now is time for revolution.
Pack bags, open roads, Serbia called. We go from Manapapulco heat to Liberland. Silver beat, we came with flags and drinks. Old fears, we left them in. New friends at every door. Now nobody stands alone. Hands up, hearts awake. This is us to make. One big circle.
Imagine three unforgettable days surrounded by bold ideas, inspiring talks, and passionate freedom lovers from around the world. This August, join us in Apatin, Serbia, for Liberpulco 2026, the ultimate gathering for those who believe in liberty, innovation, and building a thriving future. From August 13th to 15th, experience powerful talks, hands-on workshops, and meaningful community connections. and a special comedy music performance by Dominic Frisby. Govern me harder, tell me what to do. Give me your guidelines and income tax review. Govern me harder, regulate me. Give me some welfare, educate me. On August 16th, take part in special excursions, including an optional visit to Liberland. Then, for the true adventurers, stay on for the Floating Man experience, a decentralized, build-your-own-adventure inspired by Agora Forco, running from the 17th to the 23rd. Whether you come for a few days or the full experience from August 12th to 23rd, Liberpulco is where visionaries connect, learn, and live the free life they dream of. This is more than an event. It's the freedom revolution in motion. Don't miss your chance to be part of it. Grab your tickets now and secure your spot at Liberpulco 2026. Visit liberpulco.com today.